for their tax shelters. Rick Smith.
At every trough you stop to feed. With your arrogance, your ignorance and greed. Now here come the cuts and redundancy. Through the absolute indifference, the avarice, incompetence, your arrogance, your ignorance, your greed.
Yeah, your greed. You know, I got to tell you, I look at this, and we've been talking about the Trump budget all week. And understand, fortunately, thanks to Democrats in the House, not a snowball's chance of passing. But again, as I've been saying all week, it's a list of priorities. This is the priority of this administration. $1.5 trillion in cuts to Medicaid over the next decade. You think about this, you know, $845 billion to cuts to Medicare over the next decade, $25 billion cut from Social Security over the next decade. You know, all the money taken from the SNAP program, from the TANF program, LIHEAP. You go down the list of all the painful cuts to social programs that help we the people. And then think that, well, we're going to increase the Pentagon budget by a big amount. And, oh, by the way, we gave a couple trillion dollars away to the 1%. It's mind-blowing. But, you know, here's the thing that I'm taking some solace in, that everybody I've talked to thus far is pretty ticked off by this budget. The list of priorities, I think people are finally waking up to. And one of those is the massive cuts to our Environmental Protection Agency. In fact, almost a 32% proposed cut to the EPA. Now, remember, this budget's going nowhere, thanks to the Democrats. But again, this is the priority. And here are some thoughts on this priority. I've asked Gary Morton to come back and talk with us. Gary's the president of the American Federation of Government Employees Council 238. Gary, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, Rick, thank you for giving me a chance to get back on. Thank you very much.
Almost a 32% cut, almost a third cut from the EPA budget. That alone to me says that these people value nothing and actually fear what you guys do.
Well, the easiest way to stop us from what we're doing is to understaff us and underfund us, which we've been going through for the past few years. So there's definitely an attack on the environmental protection.
You know, I was just reading a story the other day that these different groups that represent the nuclear power industry, that they're pushing for fewer inspections and you know, fewer inspections and fewer regulations. And I'm going, wait a second, I'm not really comfortable with that.
We need inspections, because what inspection does, it allows us to monitor and to enforce the life-saving regulations of the EPA. And I want to say we lost an average of 225 inspections a week during the government shutdown. So those were places that were not being inspected, not being sampled, not being monitored. And they're really just trying to undercut our ability to do our job. And we have to be careful, because they can give the agency a bad grade and say we're not doing our job, but we're not given the tools to do our job. We want our union, AFGE, is asking for $11 billion for the agency to be able to fund effectively at a minimum, plus 16,500 employees to bring us back. We're barely above 14,000. We were at 13,997. When we went to our legislative conference in February. So, and that's down from 17,000 in the Obama administration.
Wow. You know, I read these statistics every once in a while. You know, people throw things out. And the Occupational Safety Health Administration, there was a figure that someone threw at me for OSHA to inspect every workplace in the country. It would be something like 130 years. Some outrageous, long number that's never going to happen. And, I was thinking about, just to keep up with the workload you have, how long does it take to get to these places? I mean, because we don't hear an awful lot about the work that you guys do, but it's vitally important to keep our air clean, our water clean, our environment safe. Do you have one of those statistics to make me crazy?
Well, I said at 225, we're like offensive linemen. If we're not, we're doing our job, no one hears about us. But the minute we don't do our job, you know, the public's going to hear about it and, you know, going to complain about the EPA.
Right.
But the point is that we need the tools to do it. Our enforcement numbers are down incredibly over the past 2 years. They've been down incredible over the past 2 years. So, you know, we saw enforcement declines over 40% in RCRA.
What's a RCRA?
RCRA. I'm sorry. That's the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. That contains underground storage tanks, hazardous waste, hazardous substances, FRFRA, pesticides, lead. That's in that program. The Safe Drinking Water Act saw enforcement declines. So we have declined in our enforcement. And also since 2017, 80 criminal investigators have left the EPA through retirement or other sources. We had a Pollution Prosecution Act in 1990 that requires 200 criminal investigators. And currently there were only 147 in February. So the agents are down, the inspections are down, and when we say cooperative federalism, EPA oversight is mandatory to protect human health for the environment. We like to work, when I say we, the employees that are represented by AFGE, work cooperatively with the states to enforce the environmental protection and not have the interference with political and economic influences. So when you remove the oversight of the EPA, now it comes down to state agencies. And with the regulatory rollbacks of the Clean Power Plant and also with the change of the rules of the water that allow federal waters are the only ones that are protected by the federal statutes, and that was a change. Because during the Obama administration, any type of waterways or tributaries led into federal were protected under federal statute. But now you're going to have a lot of waterways and environmental areas and endangered species that will fall under state protection. And if you cut our budget, you're cutting the budget of the state agencies because they're funded directly by the Environmental Protection Agency.
So basically, this is bad. I mean, because I listened to you say, you know, the number of inspections are down for, you know, all the underwater storage stuff, all of the, you know, the lead and all that. And immediately my mind goes to Flint and other cities across this country that have got lead in the water. And it just seems to me that at a time when that's front and center, we should be increasing the number of inspections to be able to find where this stuff is, as opposed to not. And I guess, you know, the other side you would say, look, we don't want to look because if we look, we'll find out how bad it is.
That's it. You find out how bad, and it's going to cost money. The United States infrastructure is crumbling.
Yep.
And we need to invest in our infrastructure in coordination with environmental protection. They go hand in hand. What sense does it make to have the clean air and work on some systems where you have other systems that are ready that are in need of repair or could rupture and contaminate everything? But, you know, when you bring the big business in and the cost, you can't do environmental protection based on cost. You have to use the science, and that's what we're missing out on now. Scientific integrity is under attack at the Environmental Protection Agency, and we can't use the science to protect the public. So this is why we need congressional oversight, so they can look at these rollbacks and see the absolute effect that it's having on human health and the environment.
What do you say, Gary, to the person who, and because I get this all the time, that we don't need OSHA, we don't need the EPA, we don't need any of that, because employers are going to police themselves because they don't want to get sued. And we've heard this argument a bunch that, you know, if they pollute, they're going to get sued, so they don't want to get sued, so they're going to do the right thing. Have you heard this argument?
Oh, we hear that argument all the time. I used to work at the Internal Revenue Service, and I'll just use as an example that we wanted to promote voluntary compliance among the taxpayers of America. if the Internal Revenue Service wasn't there, do you think that Americans in all their good conscience would pay the taxes as they see fit?
No. Look, I've been on a stretch of highway where there's no shoulders.
Yeah.
If there's no possibility of a cop being there, people are going to step on it.
See, when you bring in environmental protection, it's a cost. Asthma, factories. I'll tell them to go back to the 50s and 60s. I'm going to hit the Cayuga River, Love Canal, those type of environmental disasters that cause cancer for generations. I'll say the same thing over and over again. I grew up with smokestacks. We don't see those things now. Refineries in environmental justice areas, they're doing a better job until the rollbacks came of protecting human health and the environment. So I would say to those people, let's turn back the clock when the EPA wasn't there and you were used to leaded gasoline and breathing smog. So we need the EPA, and especially with climate change and the natural disasters now with the wildfires and the floods, EPA's capability as a national first responder is critical. And I'll go back to Hurricane Katrina and the wildfires. We deploy employees of a critical nature that enforce the life-saving regulations and make it also safe for the people to come back, Puerto Rico. I mean, the EPA needs to be there because we protect human health and the environment, and you don't want us not to be there to find out what it's like.
No, I'm right there with you. But you had to bring up the Cuyahoga River. Really? You had to do that to me?
I'm sorry. I knew that was your thing. It's
as a kid from Cleveland, you know, that's a sore spot.
But don't look at it as a sore spot, Rick, because what's happening now, you look at what's going on in that river now. And you look at the success that has come. And every city has their own Cuyahoga River or something of that nature where it was an environmental disaster because Americans weren't educated. I look back at the business practices. I've used to work in Superfund, and I was a PRP investigator for potentially responsible parties who polluted the groundwater. And we had cases of chemicals buried in the ground in a lagoon, and then they would dynamite it to percolate it so it would seep down into. And as a result, we have well contamination, plumes, North Penn site, Foot Mineral sites in Pennsylvania, the Hellertown sites, all type of military sites. And that's another thing. We can't let the military off the hook. You know, government should work together to keep the land safe for people.
Yeah, I need water, so I'd like it to be clean and without additional additives. I'd like the air to be somewhat clean so that because I kind of need that. You see, this is one of those things where I used to believe this is just common sense, that we all want this. And yet it's twisted to me that you have people who would say, no, we don't need anybody paying attention.
No. We're caught in economics. We're also caught in a demonizing of federal employees, not just the EPA, but TSA. Any type of federal employees are not giving the benefit. EPA employees are hardworking. They could make a lot more money out in private industry, but they want to make sure Americans are safe.
Yeah, they could make more money polluting.
Yes, you could make more money polluting, and you could make more money protecting the polluters.
Exactly.
We just want to keep it safe for Americans so that our generations to come can have the clean air and clean water. And it sounds corny, but you can't live without clean air and clean water as a starter.
No, absolutely. Last two bits I got for you. First one, obviously I want to finish up on what we can do to help get the EPA move forward and make sure this budget is dead on arrival. But the other part of it, and it's one of those things that I keep hearing people say, well, you don't want an economy. You just want us to all be standing around. You just want clean air and clean water, and none of us will have jobs.
As I said before, EPA regulations never took away anybody's job. We promote life saving. We save lives. we allow school children to go in a clean atmosphere. So we must keep the Environmental Protection Agency. You can't put a price on clean air. You can't put a price on your health. You can't put a price on the generations. I don't want to walk around with a smog mask.
Yeah. Well, you can't. I guess I'm going to maybe take an exception there. Because I remember Rex Tillerson, when he was the head of ExxonMobil, saying that, you know, climate change is real and that we'll just adapt to whatever happens. And I think of the CEO of Nestle who says, you know, water isn't a human right because they're the largest water supplier in the world. If they could put a price on air and water, how much could they extract from us in the way of profits then?
I agree with you. And that's a scary thought because right now, the for-profit country has taken over humanity and common sense at times. And the price that we're going to pay for an economic gain for a period of time will be marked for generations to come. And we have to think about the environment, our kids, and our children's children.
Right there with you. Gary, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Always great talk with you. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, anytime, Rick, anytime.
Good man. Appreciate it. Our good friend Gary Morton. Again, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, the priority's right there. We need clean air. We need clean water. Good for Gary. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.